Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're getting close to the end of this series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but the fruit of the Spirit series has challenged me. And sometimes it's convicted me. I'm not always full of love and patience and joy. And then I have to remember, God says he'll produce it, and it takes some time, but God is at work producing the fruit within us. It's not a self-help program. I can't do it myself. But as we abide in Christ, he will produce the fruit of the Spirit within us. So let's take a moment and review the fruit of the Spirit. Hopefully you've memorized it by now, but if not, we'll read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Today's fruit is faithfulness. What I want to do is start by looking at God's faithfulness. And then at the end of the message, I will show you some ways that we can respond to God's faithfulness with a faithfulness of our own. Some synonyms for faithfulness are reliability and trustworthiness. God is reliable, God is trustworthy, and God expects us to be reliable, and he expects us to be trustworthy. First of all, God is faithful to us. We begin each of these messages by saying that the fruit we're going to look at is part of God's characteristic. It's who God is. God is faithful. He has a track record of faithfulness throughout the Bible and throughout human history. He keeps his word. He does not break his promises. He is a covenant-keeping God. He has always been and always will be faithful. His track record of faithfulness gives us confidence that he will continue to be faithful. The Apostle Paul knows that even though we can be faithless, God will remain faithful. Paul wrote, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." And in Psalm 100, verse 5, "The Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." If you have children or grandchildren or even great-grandchildren, you probably have concerns about the future. I think every generation has had concerns about the well-being of their children and the next generations. And we certainly have reason for concerns. But notice this, even though the world is changing, and it's changing at a pace that we've never seen before, God is not changing. God is unchanging. His love endures forever. God is and will be faithful to all generations. And so we need to be praying for future generations that they will know and trust Jesus Christ, that they will have Christian convictions and values, and that they will understand they are secure and safe in God's faithfulness. We also need to be discipling young people so that they will know Jesus as their Savior, so that they will have a biblical worldview and a hope in Christ in difficult times. Last week, one of the members of our church asked me, what do people do in difficult times when they have no faith in Christ? Great question. A lot of darkness there. So we want to make sure we pass on the faith so that when people have difficult times, they will have hope in Christ, they'll have security in knowing that God will be faithful to them. In our first reading from Lamentations, we heard that our troubles do not negate God's faithfulness. His compassions never fail, but are new every morning. His character of faithfulness is unchanging. And as we sung just a few moments ago, "Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness." Every time you see a rainbow, remember God's faithfulness. He gave us a promise. He would never destroy the earth again by a flood. When you look in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and read the story of Abraham and the promise that God gave him to make a great nation, we look at the nation of Israel today. We look at the church and realize that God has been faithful to his promise. And at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always." He made that promise to be faithful to us, and he is. One of my favorite Bible passages I love to read when I'm in the hospital visiting with somebody, especially if they're about to have surgery is Psalm 121, in particular this verse. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. God is faithful. He'll watch over us now and forever. He is faithful to keep his promise. And because God is faithful to his promise, you can know this, that God will always love you. His faithful love will never cease. Jerry Bridges, who was an author and Christian leader, wrote these words: when we see how extravagantly and undeservedly loved we are in the gospel, we see how much God can be trusted and depended upon. The Apostle Paul wrote this about God: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? He goes, no. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying, and the Bible says it all over the place, God will always love you. There's nothing you can do to change his love for you. You cannot stop God from loving you. Every Sunday morning when you receive Holy Communion, God has a personal word of his love for you directed right to you. And so I want you to listen very carefully today for two little words for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. There is God's faithful promise. We can miss it, but if we listen closely, you will hear that God forgives you. In the Old Testament, there's a word that is used repeatedly to describe God's love. It's a Hebrew word, hesed. Hesed means steadfast love or loyal love. In Exodus 34, this word is found when God is speaking to Moses, and God says of himself, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, hesed, the steadfast love, and faithfulness, maintaining love, hesed, to thousands of forgiving the wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God will always love you. This is who God is. He is faithful to his promises. Now, some of you might be thinking right now, well, if God loves this way, how come there's suffering in the world? Well, I want to be clear that not all suffering comes from God. And the question of suffering is a big question. And we don't have time today to look at that question, but I just know that that might be on the minds of some people. And there are times when we go through a trial that we realize, not always is the case, but we realize that this trial is God's way of disciplining me in order to bring me back to him. And so, once again, I want to say not every trial is for discipline purposes, but sometimes they are. In Proverbs 3:12, the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Well, if you're a parent, you understand that verse. Sometimes you have to discipline your child. Sometimes tough love is needed. I have a good friend of mine who has served on numerous Curcio weekends with me. His name is Kelly, and he's very public about the testimony he gives about how God had to discipline him in order for him to come back to God, and his life turned 180 degrees. Kelly was a drug addict, and in his own words, he said he was the lowest of the low because he was also a drug dealer. He said he had no qualms about dealing drugs. In fact, his conscience was so hard, he didn't even think it was wrong to do so. When he was arrested for dealing drugs, he was sent to prison. There was discipline metered out to him through our justice system. But God used that discipline of the justice system for his own purposes. While in prison, Kelly was led to Christ. He made a profession of faith, and this newfound religious experience changed him temporarily while he was still in prison. He had more than just simply jailhouse religion, but it was a shallow faith. Upon his release, he was soon back doing the same hurtful things. He was dealing drugs. This time his conscience told him it wasn't the right thing to do, but he continued to deal drugs anyhow. Once again, he was arrested. Once again, the justice system meted out discipline. He was sent back to prison. This time, however, he sensed that this was the discipline of God, a discipline which was meant to bring him to full repentance and a new life in Christ. He'll tell you, it wasn't a pleasant experience, and there was suffering involved, but Kelly saw the hand of God in his incarceration. He saw that for him, this was the only way that God could discipline him. It was that proverbial 2x4 that had to hit him over the head. But hitting him over the head brought him back to a life-saving relationship with Christ. Well, that was many years ago. And if you were to meet him now, you would meet a very joyful man, a man of deep faith, a man who loves to serve other people. And I asked permission from him to share a story, and he said I could do that. He also said, tell people I'm a late bloomer. It took a while for God to get through to me. Now, there are other times we have trials, and we face them, and we endure them, and we discover maybe it's not God's discipline, but through that trial, we are given an opportunity for a ministry. You see, a trial can soften your heart. It can give you a new awareness of the suffering of other people, especially those who are suffering the same things you've gone through. And it'll give you the ability to speak a word of hope and comfort to other people. I'm sure that this congregation, just like every other congregation, has a number of people who are in recovery. Who can better understand the grip of addiction than someone who's experienced the same thing and found strength and freedom in Christ? As we sang in that first song, had those chains broken and can run out of the grave. God uses those who've walked that road to give support and encouragement to other people on that same road. Desert Hope has a program called Grief Share for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. A good friend of ours leads a grief share at her church in Mesa. She suffered a loss of her dear husband, and she went down that journey of grief, and now she's able to lead that same grief share. It's become her ministry. The trials we suffer do not minimize nor negate God's love in any way. He has always and he will always love you. God's unchanging word is also evidence of God's faithfulness because God is faithful to his word. In Isaiah, God says this, so is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Well, I've already said that in Holy Communion, we hear God's word of promise to us, a very personal word. There's another part of the service where we hear this week by week. It's in the time of confession. And oftentimes, we hear these words as the absolution. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to do something here. I want you to raise your hand if you have never, ever sinned. I got to put my hand down. As I look about the room, I would say that this word of forgiveness is an important word for us. We all need to hear that God loves us so much, he forgives us of our sin. You have God's promise that he will be faithful to you as you confess your sin. In Hebrews 10:23, we are told that God is always faithful to his promise. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. Well, I said at the beginning of the sermon that I want to first of all look at God's faithfulness, then I want to look at how we can respond in faithfulness to God. What does the fruit of faithfulness look like in and through us? What does it look like in the church, in the community, and in our families? God has called us to faithfulness. God wants us to be reliable and trustworthy and steadfast. Faithfulness, like the other fruit of the Spirit, is a sign of God's work in us. It's a sign that we are growing in Christ. God will create faithfulness in us, but God wants us also to cooperate with him. So there's an obvious question. It is this. Is there evidence of God's work in you? Are you faithful? First of all, is your faithfulness evidence in the church? Are you faithful in worship? Being together is so important. So thank you for being here in worship. And those of you online, thank you for being here for worship. And speaking of those online, one of the skills that churches all around this country, I think probably all around the world, have developed because of COVID is the ability to live stream. And thank goodness people who are unable to be here can join us through worship by live stream. And yet, with that wonderful new strength, there's also a concern. When it's finally safe and people feel safe to come back together, will they come back? Or will the convenience of being at home with a cup of coffee overrule? We need to be together to support one another. Listen to what Hebrews says. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Some more questions. Are you faithful in the disciplines of prayer, Bible study, and daily devotions? Are you faithful in Christian service? Jesus said we're to be salt and light to the world. Are you faithful in financial stewardship? Last week in the annual meeting, Keith had a slide he put up on the screen about all the different missions that Desert Hope supports locally and globally. Well, that wouldn't be possible if people were not faithful in financial stewardship. So thank you for that, because Desert Hope meets the needs of people some you'll never meet. Are you a faithful in discerning opportunities to disciple new or not so new believers? Are you faithful to your Christian brothers and sisters? Can they depend upon you? The Apostle Paul said, bear one another's burdens. We need to care for one another. Our church is a family that is bound together by love through Christ, and faithfulness of compassion and care is evidence that God is at work in our lives. Our faithfulness should be extended to our community. Jesus said we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Let me ask you this, do you know your neighbors? Some of you would say, I know all my neighbors. And others would say, I'm not sure I do. Your neighborhood is probably very similar to our neighborhood. People drive into their driveway, they push this button in their car, the door goes up, they drive in, the door goes down, you don't see them again. And so we have to be intentional to get to know our neighbors. And then once we get to know them, we have to listen carefully to them so that we might discern what are their needs and how could I be of help to them. Are you faithful at work? Do you give your employer your best effort? Are you dependable? Are you trustworthy? If you're no longer working but you're volunteering somewhere, is your organization more effective? Is it stronger because you are there, because of your faithfulness? And to all the young people here this morning, when you get to go back to school, finally, will you be faithful? Will you be respectful to your students, to fellow students, and to your teachers? Will you make your best effort to learn? Being faithful is something God expects of us. Your faithfulness must also be evident in your family relationships. Family members should be faithful one to one another. Children to parents and parents to children. Siblings to one another. Husbands to wives and wives to husbands. My friend Don Lawrence, who I've quoted before, told me that there's a Hallmark card that he saw that reflects the mood of many people in our time. Here's what it reads. I can't promise you forever, but I can promise to love you today. Well, that's not a very deep commitment, but that's about as deep a commitment as some are willing to make. When those of you who are married spoke your wedding vows, you said, until death do us part. And I'm confident that you not get to where you are today by saying, I love you today, but I can't promise to love you tomorrow. Faithfulness is a great commitment, and your faithfulness should be evident and family relationships. And finally, we want to stay faithful to Christ until death. The Lord expects us to stay faithful. In Revelation 2:10, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the crown of life is. I've looked at a couple of commentators. It's kind of fuzzy. But here's what I do know. If God's giving them out, I'd like to have one of those. And I think you would too. Our God is a faithful God. Stay close to Him. Be faithful until your last breath, so that one day you may hear those precious words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Lord, you are faithful even when we are not. We pray that you will fill us with faith and by your Holy Spirit produce the fruit of faithfulness in us so that we remain faithful to you forever. Amen.